Okie dokie. This is a backdoor Mother's Day message. You'll see what I mean by backdoor. So we'll get to it. Galatians 1. This is a ninth letter in the New Testament, or ninth book in the New Testament. And Galatians, got nine letters in there. And it deals with the fruit of the Spirit in chapter 5. And that's where we get a common saying, I'm living on cloud 9. So Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, let's go ahead and pray first before we read this. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this, help us to see your great power, and help us to set our affection on things above, not on things on earth. As things on earth will often deceive or get us sidetracked, help us to get back on track and set our affection on things above. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Galatians, Paul wrote to seven churches and John wrote to seven churches. The exception here is Galatians, where it's not one singular church, it's a group of churches in Galatia. This is modern-day Turkey, part of the Ottoman Empire, this area today, Muslim-dominated. Okay, Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So you see, it's a group of churches, several of them in that area. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Okay, so he's saying it's bad 2,000 years ago. Of course, we know it's gotten better. Okay, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, here's the problem. Okay, here's what he's addressing. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, so they've received it, so they're saved, they've received it, let him be accursed, an individual who's trying to sidetrack them. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Or if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, okay, I certify, a certified document. It's a legal term. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in a Jew's religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's a common saying. He wasted them. Or he's wasted. And profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Okay, in verse 13 and 14, you'll see the words religion, and that's seven times in the Bible. Two here, two in Acts, three in James, and it's always dealing with the religion of Judaism. So what Paul is concerned about, okay, these churches, the people in the churches, received the gospel of Jesus Christ, are now saved, but somebody is trying to pull them back into Judaism. Okay, and so he's worried about that, he's bothered about that. And that's the trouble. And he's going to offer them something. You got something better than that. Why are you going back to that stuff when you got something better than that? Okay, and it's obviously of the people that he's talking to are to the Jews first and also the Greeks. So he's talking to the Judaizers, or he's warning about Judaizers. That's the religion that they're trying to pull them back into. Okay, in different areas, depending on what the religion of that area is, if somebody gets saved, then that faith will try to pull them back. Okay, and so he's telling them in Galatians 4, verse 7, if you look at that one, for Israel as a nation, up until this time, according to the Old Testament, was considered God's servants. So an individual Jew in the Old Testament was considered a servant of God. As a body of people, they were considered a son of God, but not as individuals. They didn't get born again or anything. It was a religion. So in verse 7 of chapter 4, he said, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son." It's better to be a son of God than to be a servant. A servant has to have a covenant and a contract and agreement, but a son is in the family. So he's bringing the elevation up here. Okay, and so how do you become a son? Well, in the same letter, chapter 2:16, you become a son of God by justification by faith. Okay, that's the new birth. By grace through faith. It's a free gift. And then chapter 2:20, he said, it's not only that, but you are also sanctified by faith. That also comes with the package. That's much better than being a servant. So, depending on where you're at, okay, if you're in a Dutch Reformed area, down in the Mod area, if a person gets saved, okay, I'm not saying Dutch Reformed are lost, but a person gets saved and they want to pull out of the Calvinist mindset, a Calvinist would try to pull them back to save face. What wasn't it good enough for you? Well, I found Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. Okay, and so they'll try to do it. If it's in a Catholic hold, in a stronghold of Catholics, if somebody gets saved of that faith and want to pull out of the church, they're going to try to pull them back in. Okay, they want to pull them back in. If a guy's doing well financially or business world, a Freemason might come along and try to pull them into Freemasonry. Why? For fame and fortune. The guy said, well, I've already got the money. What do I need you for? Well, you just need us. What for? Well, you just need us. Okay, and today we're actually finding many Christians who are following Jewish holidays. What for? What are they going back to this stuff for? Well, I know why they're going back to it. It's a part of their self-righteousness. The key word is self. Righteousness, that I can appear holy. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He said, somebody is tricking you. And he's trying to get them to chapter 5 where you can bear fruit and live on cloud 9 and you don't have to be held bondage to this religion. That's why I left it. He said, I met Jesus Christ and I found something better. Now in chapter 4, we know that he's dealing with Jewish people because he gives an analogy about the Jews. In chapter 4, verse 9, he starts writing it. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I'm sorry, that's chapter 3. So he's dealing, using a Jewish idea and in chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. So they got saved. They know God. God knows them. They know God individually. He says, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? What you going back to that for? Whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. So what for? Every day is holy for a believer. He said, I'm afraid of you, lest I should bestow upon you labor in vain. He's not afraid of them as far as fearful of them. I'm afraid that you're not going to bear fruit. You're doing all these works, and it looks good, but it's not fruit from God. It's plastic fruit. So then if you drop down to verse 16, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously, there's a group of them, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But is it good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, but not only when I am present with you? For my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me. Ye that desire to be under the law, do ye hear the law? Okay, so this is a good technique. If somebody says, I'm under this authority, go to that authority, and you can use that authority for them. Say, hey, are you going to listen to the law? So he starts to give them an analogy of Judaism. The analogy goes back to Genesis 16. So he says, for it is written, okay, so this is Genesis 16 through 21, 22. He said, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one a bondmaid, the other a free woman, Sarah, Hagar. But he who was of the bondmaid woman was born after the flesh. So these people are trying to glory in your flesh, in your presence. You're one of the number. I've been counting. Okay? Proof of that, chapter 6, verse 12, you go back there. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they're interested in the outward appearance. Okay, back in chapter 4, 23. For, what'd you do there? But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar, Old Testament, they throw the H on there. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But, so here's the offer. Okay, here's the offer. Instead of all these little religious things, the offer is this. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. There's my backdoor Mother Day message. The mother of us all is the New Jerusalem. Now, what is that? That's a common expression. The mother of all places is the best of all places, an extreme example of something. And a mother of all places for the person in this, the offer is the mother of all places is the New Jerusalem. Okay, this, sometimes there's a car, that's the mother of all crashes. Saddam Hussein described the Gulf War as the mother of all battles. A mother lode is a principal vein or zone of gold or silver ore. Everyone and his mother is used to refer to a large number of people. Experience is the mother of wisdom. It means people learn what happens to them. A face only a mother can love is a bad-looking face. Okay? And so these common expressions, idioms, phrases, sayings often stem from the Bible. They come from the Bible. And when you hear these things, if the Bible is the apple of your eye, we'll get to that one, then you can recognize these common expressions, and spontaneous witness is the witness that really is effective. Guys at jail used to ask me, what time is it? I said, time to get saved. You ready? And they'd stop asking me what time it was. Okay? Or they'd say, what's up? And I'd say, heaven, hope you're going there. And they stopped saying that one. I saw a farmer in a hardware store, and he said, Dave, I haven't seen you for a while. I said, yeah. He said, how's the world treating you? I said, horrible. But the Lord's treating me good. Oh, man, that just got him. God, and that's what you want, those common expressions that people say. You hear them on the sports field. Guy hits the softball over the head of the outfield. Oh, they burned him. That's a Bible phrase. Man, they smoked him. That's a Bible phrase, another Bible phrase. And if we pay attention to these phrases, the Jews today don't see eye to eye with the Lord. You see that in Isaiah 51. Isaiah 52, the Jewish remnant will see eye to eye after the tribulation. The apple of my eye, the apple of your eye means someone is very precious. In Deuteronomy 32:10, that's Israel. That's the apple of God's eye. Don't miss the boat, that means don't miss the chance, don't miss the opportunity. Noah warned about that for over 100 years, but you see, those people didn't have the sense of coming out of the rain. These common expressions, you hear them all the time. Okay, Moses' parents didn't know what to do with Moses as a little infant, so he was a basket case. Okay, without power. But you see, about several years later, when God called Moses to lead Israel, he was beating around that bush. You know, beating around a bush, trying to not do what God wanted him to do. You see, these common expressions, we hear them all the time. Magicians take this wand. Why do they have a wand? Well, it's because Moses had a rod that he threw down and it turned into a snake. Not a rabbit, but a snake. And he picked it back up. Even the devil's crowd follows the standards of the Bible. People say, well, I'm all ears. Yeah, Jesus said 7 times, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then he said in Mark chapter 9, let this sink in your ears. How many of us parents said, make sure this sinks in? We get these from the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2 says that the law should be the apple of your eye. If the Bible is the apple of your eye, you will hear these common expressions because God hides things in plain sight, as the devil does too. He's going to counterfeit it. And if the Bible is the apple of your eye, you will start seeing things that people don't see, normally don't see. Why? Because the Bible is an eye-opening book. Acts 26, verse 18. Now, these expressions that people say, it could be good men, bad men, could be wicked men, but they're going to say these. Now, the devil is going to take some of these expressions and try to shift it over to his direction. So it's not the creator or the maker, it's Mother Nature. Because we get mother in there. Or Mother Gaia, or the mother goddess, competes with the Heavenly Father. The devil is going to counterfeit a lot of these things. Or a very wicked term on the street is a mother fornicator, because that's the way the devil entraps people, by that method. To add insult to injury, Bible phrase, in the end, God is going to take the sinner and pull him out of a frying pan and throw him into the fire when God says, go jump in a lake because you're in hot water. And that's the end game. If we don't accept the offer God's offered. What's the offer? The New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. It's free. The glorious and free offer of God is the eternal bliss in paradise. If you would, let's look at it. Revelation chapter 21. Several years ago, I got married in paradise. Paradise, Pennsylvania. That's the name of the town we got married in. And so, Revelation chapter 21, John gets to see the New Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Revelation 21, 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And in the presence of God is joy forevermore. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Is that not a good enough deal right there? And there shall be no more death. How about that's a good deal? Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's a good deal. In chapter 21, verse 9, an angel takes John into the future. It's not back to the future. He's going into the future. The devil is going to counterfeit everything. And that Back to the Future movie was a lot of satanic stuff being told in there to fool people, to deceive people. Verse 9, it says, there came unto me one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So the New Jerusalem will be the eternal abode for the bride of Christ, born-again believers. The Jews get the earth, the new earth, the Gentiles get the new heaven, and so forth. And it says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit in a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. What's it look like? Well, in verse 16, it's called Foursquare. So you take 2 pyramids, put the bottom parts of the pyramids together, so you have a point at the top, a point at the bottom, And that's a picture of the New Jerusalem. Now, the devil's going to counterfeit that. What's he going to do? He's going to take a pyramid, cut the top off, the capstone, Jesus Christ, and he's going to deceive people by the pyramid, the all-seeing eye. It's on the back of the Federal Reserve note. That's the counterfeit. He describes it in verse 11, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Oh, the devil's going to counterfeit that and put crystal slippers on Cinderella to counterfeit it. He's going to counterfeit and hide all these things. If people's heart don't see it, they're not going to miss it. Now, there's something about stones that are very intriguing, where stones, certain kind of stones, have a vibration. They have some healing. A crystal is a stone that a person can wear or put in their pocket or have something like a quartz that I wear, and it dispels energy from the electrical currents going through the airs because all this stuff is floating around. There's something to it. Now, I know if you get in a study of something about the stones, there's going to be a woman with a, you know, like a freaky broom around and a new agey stuff, and then you're going to say, I'm out of here. No, don't worry about that. Just mention Jesus Christ, and her eyes will kind of pop a little bit when you say Jesus Christ, and then you can pick up some truth because the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. And the thing is, we got to try to figure it out. Okay, and these stones are very unique. There's something very interesting about them. Some free energy can come out of them. Some will take a crystal and tape it around the inlet electrical wire coming in before the panel, the circuit panel, because it makes electricity more efficient, shall we say. Okay, there's something to it. I don't understand a lot of it. One of the stones that's mentioned is at the end of verse 19, an emerald. So what's the devil going to do? He's going to put a movie out there, a very popular movie called The Wizard of Oz, and they're going to have little witches and little demons, little monkeys in there. And they're going to follow a brick road, them streets of gold. They're going to follow this yellow brick road. When they get to the end, they're going to see that somebody's behind a curtain. Oh, he's just, you know, the Emerald City. Oh, he's just full of hot air. Yeah, that's what they're trying to deceive people about, the hot air. The hot air is the devil. That's the one that's full of hot air. The devil's going to counterfeit the ways of God. Verse 12, it's got a great wall. Verse 13, 14, 15, it's got gates. Verse 16 gives the size of it, 1,500 miles high, wide, depth. You know, it's kind of like a fourth dimension, if you want to get into that. Verse 17, he measured the wall there of a height of 140 and 4 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. So he tells us that angels are men, right there in the context. If you drop down to verse 22, who's there? I saw no temple there, not a religion, that's Old Testament. No temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Man, there's nothing better than that. Now, is that not a bed of roses? Offered from the rose of Sharon? And the devil's going to counterfeit it and offer you the Rosicrucian. He's going to counterfeit everything. But you see, the thing about the bed of roses that the Lord offers is a no-brainer opportunity coming from the Rose of Sharon, counterfeited by the Rosicrucian, but that's only offered to an elite few. And the elite few will love to destroy the rest, the masses. That's what the devil does. He counterfeits these things. The snake in the grass offered in Genesis chapter 3, ye shall be as gods, to a woman. And the Rosicrucian idea is an elite member of the worldwide brotherhood claiming to possess esoteric wisdom, handed down from ancient times. But there's strings attached with that. Back in the day, in the 1500s and 1600s, there was a court, a type of a court in England called the Star Chamber. And if there was a contempt of court, they wrote, let all men take heed how they complain in words against any magistrate, for they are gods. Whoa. What do these gods do in this Star Chamber? any Christian that would upset them, they'd pull them in a secret star chamber, and then they would torture them. They'd cut their ears off. And they would torture them to get confessions out. Why? Because that's what the gods of this world view you and I. That's how they view us. And that Rosicrucian that's offered by Satan, at the end, they're all going to be cast into the lake of fire because God's going to fire them. They get fired from their job. What is their job? Well, 1/3 of those angels, or 33, which is a very significant number for a small group of people in the elite position. And if you wish upon that star, better be careful about that falling star. Because that falling star in Revelation 9 is the king over the bottomless pit. The devil counterfeits everything. And if you go to Hollywood, you might see the stars. You see? And the devil counterfeits a lot of these things. And then he'll flip that star upside down so it has the 2 points up, so you have the goat head of Mendes. All this is deception. The devil hides things in plain sight. God hides things in plain sight. And it's going to be your heart that determines what you see. Or how to discern. Can we discern between the difference, or has CERN been very active trying to take away our thinking capability? You know, or are we able to discern these things? One can experience, Paul is telling us, one can experience the best of both worlds. Being saved, being a fruitful believer for Christ, and then going to the New Jerusalem. That's why it says in Colossians 3, we need to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. If you would, look in Proverbs chapter 29. A lot of preachers, a lot of times they spend time telling everybody to show up at church, show up at church, show up at church. Maybe they ought to be like that one lady that gave me advice years ago. I was knocking some doors in Rensselaer, and this older lady came to the door, and she gave me a track, and she said, "Well, if you do a better job on Sunday, you won't have to be out here trying to beg people to come." Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Boy, did she hit it. I walked away laughing and laughing and laughing on that one. But a lot of these guys will always go to Hebrews, "Forsake not the assembling of ourselves." There's something better than that. Proverbs 29, verse 15. This has got to be the best one. It says, "The rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother's shame." Well, who's the mother of us all? The New Jerusalem. And if I'm a child of God, I want to associate myself around believers. Why? Because you tend to act like what you associate with. And so the thing is I want to get myself around believers as often as I can so that when I'm discouraged, their encouragement can rub off on me. And if I'm encouraged and they're discouraged, my encouragement can rub off on them and not the reverse, where we get griping about something and we both walk away discouraged. And a lot of these folks will have this little nitpicky thing and say, "Well, I'm not going to go to church anywhere." Yeah, and a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. Why? Because I know what you're going to do. You're going to sit in front of the telly. And you're going to have Joel Osteen and Patsy Robertson and all these fakers. And you're going to send money to these fakers and thinking that you're doing something. You're not doing squat. You're sitting there in front of a programmed screen being programmed by somebody. You see, and that's the intent. The magicians would go to out in the woods and find a holly tree and take the wood and make a Hollywood and use that in their magic. Do we see the significance? Hollywood. If I have a choice to being around holy wood from Calvary, and the people that associate with Calvary, instead of being in front of Hollywood deceiving me. You know, it used to be that this Jerry Springer type stuff was on the soap operas. It was just make-believe. It's reality today because that's all they're doing is sit in front of it, being programmed by the mediums behind the screen Because behind the screen, where you're not supposed to look. Because that's what he said on The Wizard of Oz. Don't look behind the screen. When we look behind these things, we can see the devil unmasked. And we can see God in all his glory. God in all his glory. If the Lord Jesus Christ is just any religious founder like any other religious founder, if he's like Buddha or Confucius or Mao Zedong, if he's just like Moses, if they're all kind of equally across the board, why do they have such an infatuation about Jesus Christ? Why is it that you can use Jesus Christ in a cuss word, but you can't use that name to exalt him? Why is it in the public schools you can talk about Allah and God and Hare Krishna, but as soon as Jesus Christ is mentioned, they kind of go a little bonkers? That sort of kind of sets the Lord Jesus Christ off here in a unique position. And there's nobody like him. And he's the one that paid the price to give us an offer of the New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. And it's found in Jesus Christ. How does he view all this little efforts that people are doing? If you would look in Philippians chapter 3. Some of these common sayings that people say can be crude. Okay, and a person can, and the reason why people talk like that is because they're taking a good word and trying to defame it. Okay, but it shows their heart, because out of the mouth, the heart, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now here's the comment about the Lord Jesus Christ. How does Jesus Christ view this religion? Okay, in Galatians, Paul said, what are you doing? Why are you going back to this where you have the New Jerusalem, the mother of us all? What are you doing going back to that? Here's how the Lord views it in Philippians 3, verse 8. This is how Paul said it. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I asked a guy in a jail, you know, I read that verse from him. I said, did your new Bible update that word? I said, do you know what the updated word for that? He said, yeah. He said it. I said, you got it. Well, what's the common saying? And I'm not saying, young people, you should say this common saying, but you might hear somebody say it. But if you're really leading somebody in a line of bull, they might say, cut the crap. What is that? That's Philippians 3. You know, when the Lord sees somebody going back to their religious ways, he said, what are you doing? You went back to the manure pile. Well, you have this freedom. And if somebody, you know, when somebody's on the street and I'm trying to witness to them about Christ and they talk about all their good deeds, my farmer ways want to come out. And if it's a farmer, I might say it. I say, why don't you just cut that? You're telling me you're equal to Jesus Christ? Go kid somebody else. Because that's how God views it. Malachi chapter 2, verse 3. A lot of times people go to these historical churches, old churches, a big church, and it's a little nice and thing. Malachi 2, verse 3, the Lord says, I'm going to spread to these priests, I'm going to spread dung in your faces. When God sees that, he said, that is nothing but a glorified commode. Because compared to Jesus Christ, your righteousness are as filthy rags. Okay, where it's all offered. Why? All truth and knowledge is found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in the lost ark of the Raiders or whatever it was, where they're counterfeiting everything. I mean, these guys that talk about these old lost hidden books and we're looking for this and looking for, I just want to look at it and say, you haven't even looked at the gold mine in front of you. And you're looking for little nuggets over in this cave over here and this cave over here. Forget it. I've got the whole gold mine right there. And that's the mother of us all. And when we spend some time in this book, the association of this book, the Christ comes off these pages and we become more like Christ and we can make the New Jerusalem, the mother of us all, blessed. Colossians chapter 2, that's where it's found. It's found in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, if you look in verse 2 at the end, It says, and of Christ. What's in Christ? Colossians 2:3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. These guys are going over here and going over there. Oh, I'm going to find this. Why? Because they want to look smart. I know something you don't know. So what? Tell me something I didn't know. Everybody knows something I don't know, and I know something that other people don't know. Big deal. Don't mean anything. It's just whatever our background is. But these common sayings here in Colossians 2, the Lord Jesus Christ is to be glorified, honored, and worshiped. And when a person realizes what Jesus Christ has offered, we can honor him by taking his offer. And then step into the liberty of the Spirit of God, Galatians 5, verse 1, and bear fruit for that Savior. And that's the way we would honor him. That is the most glorious and free offer, not only of eternal bliss in the New Jerusalem, but we can give back to Jesus Christ because he worked through us because we got ourselves out of the way. Okay, let's stop and pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to see that people talk Bible all the time. They do it all the time. They just don't know it. And the power of the Word of God, which is the standard, and help us to tell them Jesus Christ is the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid it all. All to him I owe. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a religion per se. Man is competing with Jesus Christ, and I know how you view it. Lord, I just pray and ask that you'd help each and every one of us to draw closer to thee. And when we hear people utter these common sayings, that we might use that opportunity and say, well, I didn't know you were a Christian. You quoted the Bible. And use that to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and try to open their eyes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Your piano will play. If you like to use the altar, it's open for you. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, you can do that anytime by trusting him now. In his death, his burial, and his resurrection, when you in your heart agree, I am not worthy, Jesus Christ is worthy. I believe in him. By trust in Jesus Christ. That's the offer that he's given. Lord, I pray and ask you'd help us to see the offer that you've given. And the ones that have received that offer, Lord, help us to be grateful. And stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Because we're free indeed. Free to do what? Free to do right. Free to witness for Christ. Free to do, to yield to the Spirit so he might cleanse us. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to see the great and glorious offer that he's given. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.